say. Don't bow, don't bend. Stay the course, start to end. Keeping to wise counsel, drawing on the soul. Do not be distracted, you've got to stay the course. Something's gonna happen, I feel it in the air. I know a change is coming, and I want to be there. Don't bow, don't bend. Stay the course, start to end.
And a hoo. All right, all right. Good morning, y'all. This is Brother A-Dub, a.k.a. Well, Aaron Amers, a.k.a. Brother A-Dub. Let me turn this here down. All right, I'm back in the studio, 90.1 FM on your listening dial. The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speaker. They do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, station manager, Prairie Air Incorporated, or Prairie Air Incorporated. So, y'all, yeah, if y'all want to hold somebody responsible for what I say between the hours of 8 and 10 a.m. on this brisk and beautiful Saturday morning, my first higher ground of 2016. So happy new year to all of you. Hoping, wishing you a grand rising and a grand new year. So if you want to say something about what I might say, what I might share, you can give me a call down here at 217-359-5483. Or 217-359-6545. Of course, we are streaming online at www.weft.org. And you can click on Listen Live, and you can also join the conversation. So if you know someone who is outside of our radio frequency who would not pick us up normally, tell them they can check us out at www.weft.org. Click on Listen Live, and they can be a part of this conversation. They may have something that that could help us here and deal with some of this pain and rotten behavior that we see taking place in some of our institutions. Maybe they can give us some insight. So, and you can pass on to them the same number of 217-359-5483 or 217-359-6545. At some point this morning, you will hear from our state representative, Carol Ammons. She will be calling in to maybe give us a little bit of an update on where things are in Springfield. Talk a little bit about some upcoming events that she has, one of which is going to take place this Thursday, January 7th, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. At 5 p.m., there's a potluck dinner, and then from 5:30 to 7, there's a discussion, and this is on criminal justice reform. It's a community discussion, criminal justice reform in Illinois. So please join State Representative Carol Ammons, State Representative L.G. Sims, Chairperson of the Judiciary Criminal Committee, and Jim Lewis, the U.S. Attorney for the Central District of Illinois, for a community discussion on the current status of the criminal justice system in Illinois. How can we use legislation and policy to shape reform, and what the most pressing issues are right now? So this is a grand opportunity for us to speak directly with the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, the Criminal Committee, and talk to him about different ideas and desires that we, the people, would like to see presented and pushed as legislative, as law in the state of Illinois, as well as the U.S. Attorney for the Central District of Illinois. So you have your state representative, Carol Ammons, as well as Representative L.G. Sims, and a federal U.S. attorney for our District of Illinois, Mr. Jim Lewis, will be in the house. All of this is going to be Thursday, January 7th of this year at the IMC, the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center, 202 South Broadway in Urbana. 5 p.m. potluck dinner, 5:30 to 7 is the discussion. So please bring a dish to share for the potluck dinner. Plates, utensils, and drinks will be provided. If you have any questions about this, please call the representative's office at 217-531-1660, or you can email assistance at staterepcarolammons.com. So Sister Carol is still doing her thing, still pushing the issues, bringing it forth to the community that we might have more direct link to some of the laws and policies that govern us. So we have to do our part as the people and participate in this process and to put forth the ideas and initiatives that we want to see take place in our community. You know, it reminds me of a situation that we've been discussing in the state of Illinois for quite some time now about the medicalization or legalization of marijuana. And I was watching a clip, a documentary basically on Netflix, and it was talking about the in Colorado, how things are working in Colorado around legalization and medicalization, and how things are working like in California, places like that, and the profits and how it's working for generating revenue for the cities, the states themselves. And so, you know, these are some of the things that we need to discuss as a people, as a community, and as the people who are being governed and who have these legislators and policymakers who have we have voted in. The point that I'm raising here and the issue that I'm hoping that people will grasp from the conversation or from this thought is that initiatives, policies, and laws are driven from the people on the ground up. They are driven from local politics to state politics to federal politics. We have been either miseducated, misinformed, or so disconnected that we somehow think policies start with President Obama and the U.S. Congress, and then they come down to us. That is not a that's not consistent with a democracy, a system of government that is of, for, and by the people. We determine how we want to be governed, and then we press it forward. That's how it's supposed to work. And so if you're not doing your part in creating ideas or coming up with new initiatives that you want to see pushed, and then doing the helpful organizing to make sure that your representative has the ability and the strength to move that forward, then, you know, you cannot expect the outcomes that you desire. So you got to do your part. We all have to do our part to help our representatives do their part. So when it's an initiative that you want to see happen, you have to work on that issue. You cannot just go home and watch Empire, you know, sit under the, you know, sit around watching television, watching Monday Night Football and stuff like that and think and then complain about the policies that you see coming forth. And especially now with this Citizens United decision and so much money being poured into politics and to buy off candidates, then we have to work extremely hard to make sure that our concerns as a people are put forth and are pushed. And it's these types of opportunities that you'll have on this Thursday, January 7th, at the Independent Media Center to talk to your state representative, the criminal justice, Judiciary Criminal Committee Chair L.G. Sims, as well as U.S. District Attorney Jim Lewis. 5 p.m. potluck, 5:30 to 7 is the discussion, and it's your opportunity to come out and bring forth your initiatives and your ideas so that they might be put forth possibly as legislation for the state of Illinois. All right, y'all. There's a few things that are taking place as we kick off the new year. I want to make sure that we do not forget as we talk about policies and initiatives, things that are important to us, that we do not forget that there is still a campaign to remove Champaign Police Officer Matt Rush from his duties. He can either do the appropriate thing as far as from a standpoint of integrity and dignity to maintain a growing and hopefully blossoming relationship with the police department, as to resign. So Matt Rush, if you're listening out there, you and some of your homeboys, I know some of y'all listening, tell him that we just want him to resign then if he don't or either resign or get prosecuted. But Matt Rush still has to go. I want to make sure that as I kick off Higher Ground for 2016, Happy New Year. You got to go. Find another profession. We want to make sure that we continue to keep this pressure up, continue to organize around this issue, because we have to have accountability in all of our systems. Everyone has to be accountable. No one is above the law, not the lawmakers and not those who enforce it. None of them are above the laws that we are all governed by. And so we want to make sure that we, the people, continue to organize and raise this concern and pressure on Officer Matt Rush to resign or for him to be prosecuted. Special prosecutor, local prosecutor, we need him to be prosecuted for the crimes in which he has committed in the same way that other citizens are prosecuted for the crimes that they commit. And if you like what I say, you can call me down here 217-359-5483. Or 217-359-6545. If you don't like what I just said, you can call me at 217-359-5483 or 217-359-6545. All right. So, of course, there's an ongoing push for that, as well as a criminal justice reform. It was something else. The Racial Justice Task Force is something that has been talked about quite a bit. And it seems because it's such a large number of people that we're not having the chair of the county board is not having the success of getting people to sign up for that. And I think a lot of people think it's watered down with so many people and so many different initiatives as opposed to a simple focus on the number of on how things are run. The criminal justice system is run here locally, especially as it relates to the county jail and the number of people who are being incarcerated there. In particular, the gross misrepresentation of African-American people, males in particular, in that system. So, you know, that's still an ongoing topic for us here as we move into 2016. We still want to make sure that we are not just simply trying to arrest our way out of different issues that we are facing in the community. So, Sister Carol, I know you're listening out there, and I know that you have something that you want to share. Please give me a call down here, 217-359-5483, so we can start our discussion about what's going on in Springfield. Later on, at the top of the hour at 9 a.m., my guest will be Matt Duco. He is an attorney at Spiros Law. He's also been working with the local NAACP. He's the president of the Champaign County Young Democrats, and he is running for Champaign County Recorder of Deeds position. So he'll be my guest at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. So we'll talk a little bit about voting rights and talk about some of the work that he's done in the past, as well as talking about what he plans to do in the office or the Recorder of Deeds. And that, again, that'll be at the 9 o'clock hour. I'm trying to see if there are any other announcements that tonight at the Clark Bar. I was down here at WEFT last night, my son and I, with Dr. Will Patterson and William Gold and Donovan Gold, Isaiah Johnson and Joe Lewis, a whole bunch of artists down here, singers, musicians who were doing a farewell tribute to Hip Hop Express. We had a great time for a couple of hours down here, live music. Keyboards, electric guitar, the drums. We had a trumpet player in the house too. You know, we couldn't quite get the trumpet going into that live band just yet, but he was in the house with us as well. Shout out to my 14-year-old, the Big Prince. Amir was in the house. So we had a good time down here, and they're going to actually be playing The Elements is the name of the group. They're going to be playing live at the Clark Bar tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. So that's The Elements tonight at the Clark Bar from 7 to 9 p.m. playing live music. Some young local artists putting it down. Y'all should come check us out. Check them out. I'm not really with the group. All right, y'all. Who is this calling me this morning?
Good morning. This is Sister Carol Ammons calling you this morning.
Good morning, Sister Carol. How you doing?
What's up?
She got your Martin Lawrence going on this morning.
Yeah, Martin Lawrence.
Did you know Martin Lawrence was born in Germany?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just found out this weekend, too. Just a little known fact for y'all. So what you got for us, Sister Carol, state representative?
Well, I was listening as you did your announcements this week. Happy New Year to everybody who's listening. What a beautiful day today. It's sunny. There's no snow. And I could talk about maybe some environmental stuff. I think I'll leave that for another show. We need to have a show on why is it sunny and there's no snow. My grandson came over, Jaleel. You know him, right?
Yeah, I heard of him.
You heard of him before? Jaleel came over yesterday, and his great-grand gave him a little round sled to slide down the hill. So I said, Jaleel, and Gigi gave you this sled for Kwanzaa, and he said, oh okay, we got to go up to where the snow is. Because, you know, ain't no snow here.
He said, you got to go back to Wisconsin. Huh?
So, anyway, we needed to let it snow. Okay, we need some snow. We do have some wonderful events going on in the new year. I'm very happy to be returning to Springfield to get back to work on the most pressing issues of our state, which is the life of budget and its impact. We go back to session on January 13th, which is my daughter's 26th birthday. I can't believe it, but it is her 26th birthday, and I'll be going back to session. But that is the duty of a public servant. Sometimes you miss family events, but they know that you are thinking of them. But we'll be going back to session on the 13th of January to really just get back to work on attempting to rectify the budget situation. I know there's been quite a bit of conversation up in the Chicagoland area. They had a couple of revenue hearings over the break to talk about revenue, which we have to talk about in the world of reality. We have to talk about revenue in the state of Illinois. As long as you have a flat tax, you are going to be in trouble. So we really, really need to talk about revenue. So we'll see what the committee came up with next week, well, in a couple of weeks, around the issue of revenue to talk about that. But in a new year, I'm asking people in our community to, as part of their New Year resolution, if you are out there making New Year's resolution, to consider making a resolution to be more active in your local and state government. Make that part of your New Year's resolution. And the reason why I say that is because everything that is happening around you right now, good and bad, is as a result of some policy someone has made. And without the voice of the people, it is very difficult for people like myself and so many other legislators and local legislators to really pass the will of the people. Because sometimes our colleagues have to be educated on the issue in a way that is non-traditional, sometimes by force, to get them to vote in the interest of all of the people. And that is what I am asking people to make part of their New Year's resolution. You know, I have a resolution to lose 30 pounds, and I want to do all these things, which I'm going to work on dedicatedly. But part of that resolution has to be to involve yourself in your local and state government. Really, really important. We know 2016 is a presidential election. We could talk about that if you want to, Brother Ada, but I'll move on to my own announcement of events that I have coming up. You did mention this, the January 7th event, that's the criminal justice reform in Illinois. This is a huge discussion that will be taken up at the state level. I really, really take very seriously the comments of my community. And so that is the reason why we host so many public events, to get the response of the community around these public issues and what we should be doing at the state level. So I want you to join us on January 7th at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center, 202 South Broadway Avenue. That is in Urbana. Bring a dish to share. It is a community discussion. Let's bring a dish at 5 and share. People will be just getting off of work. Let's have a discussion from 5:30 to 7 with the chair of judiciary. So he is a very important person in relationship to criminal justice reform, because he really has the say on what bills will come through his community. He works directly with the speaker on his committee and what will be heard or not heard. This is a very, very important position, and we have him coming to our community. That's Representative L.G. Sims, who's the chair of judiciary, very intelligent brother. He is a lawyer by trade, and he is instrumental in the work that we did over the last session to put forth a criminal justice bill that will attempt to address some of the issues around police brutality, around video cameras and regulating body cameras. All of that came out of judiciary. And so that's a really important committee for us, certainly in this community, that we're all concerned about. equal justice under the law. We want him to feel welcome in our community. So we want you to come out January 7th and to join the discussion with Representative L.G. Sims. And then we are hosting, I'll just skip back because my next one is in February, but I do want people to join us for this year's MLK program. Yours truly will do the community presentation on Dr. King, and I'm gonna pull up the actual the full schedule for you, Brother Aaron, so that
okay,
people
well,
know.
Sister Carol.
Yeah.
You just
yeah.
kind of going on and on as a guest. You ain't supposed to take it's my show. It's my
oh,
show.
It's my show.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing it remotely.
Yeah, I understand. So slow down there for a minute. Why are you looking at
it? So I'm just covering January. I'm just trying to cover January right quick.
Okay, so go ahead and pull that up because you are the keynote speaker for the event that's going to take place at the Krannert Center for Performing Arts, the big event that everybody attends for the MLK scholarships, right?
Yes.
So there's going to be several different events coming up for Martin Luther King Day and these different events and stuff like that. So there's been quite a bit of work. I think you all would be you look forward to an article in Sunday's paper from Dr. Sundiata Chajua, Real Talk from a Black Perspective. And it's going to be dealing with a little bit of W.E.B. Du Bois and Martin Luther King, and not the M.L. King, the Martin Luther King I Have a Dream, you know, but the Martin Luther King who was assassinated on April 4th, 1968. Right. So you're talking about a different perspective that was being offered by Martin Luther King when he was actually assassinated, talking about economic justice and talking about redistributing the pain in America, you know, the economic boycotts and things like that, that were designed to give some extra push to our social justice issues, because in this capitalist society where money, you know, is the real God for most people, then you especially for those who are the dominant culture and who have been basically exploiting the labor and the lack of wealth of other people. So we really want you all to pay attention to that. Sister Carol will be the keynote speaker for the MLK event. On what date, Sister Carol?
I'll be the keynote speaker on Sunday, January 17th. It's the 31st annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Community Celebration Advocacy for Justice. Now, it's interesting. This year's theme is developing new relationships, building a community for everyone. I think what you just said, Brother Aaron, is we're going to talk about Dr. King as Dr. King evolved to the point of understanding the relationship between economic injustice, right, and war, right, laborers' rights. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about this new relationship, what happened, what's the old one, and what the new one needs to look like in order for there to be truly a community for everyone. That is what I'm working on for my presentation, and I think that's what the article you just mentioned will be in the Sunday paper, will hint upon in the few characters that they give them to present that. But the important part is, what are the relationships that currently exist that are not profitable, and how do we replace those with new ones that are based on equality and justice, right? How do we do that? And so that is my intention on January 17th, on Sunday, January 17th, to present to our community.
All right. So we're definitely looking forward to coming out and hearing what you will have to say as a keynote speaker, and just really trying to hear also from the people. So you have a chance, if you'd like to ask your state representative a question. Sister Carol is on the line. You can give us a call down here at 217-359-6545. 217-359-6545. And she is on the line right now if you had a particular question or concern that you wanted to raise with her. In the background, you hear Stevie Wonder and his wonderful song called, off the Songs in the Key of Life. The song is called Black Man.
I can hear it.
Oh, okay.
You said we do?
It's just in the backdrop. Maybe you, how about this? Let me see.
Oh, well, I guess I wasn't supposed to hear it on the phone, huh?
Oh, I don't know why you can't hear it, but I ain't gonna worry about it.
Yeah,
so, go ahead.
Could I share my other three important events that are coming up, Brother Aaron?
You know, are they in January?
Uh-uh.
Okay, well, no, we ain't gonna go to all that stuff. We got to get through January first. We got a lot of stuff going on.
Well, they're early. You know, people who plan really plan weeks in advance, at least 6 weeks, so that takes us right up until Tuesday, February 2nd at Salem Baptist Church. See, that discussion is really about money. It's called the LaSalle Street tax or the Robin Hood tax. Why in the world should we pay more money for taxes than Governor Rauner? So we'd love for you to come out on February 2nd.
Who pays more taxes than Governor Rauner? Ain't Rauner a billionaire?
Oh, yeah, but he gets tax rebate in the amount of like $750,000. For us, we pay more taxes as working people than Governor Rauner. That is a problem. So we are proposing that the, in addition to changing the tax structure from a flat to a progressive tax structure, that we also look at the LaSalle Street tax, which we're going to talk about what that is and how much revenue it can generate for the state of Illinois without taxing us poor little working class property owners in this state. And so we're going to talk about that on February 2nd at Salem Baptist Church, which is 500 East Park Street in Champaign. The churches in this community are great partners for us in all of our work. They have always been. I want to shout out to Pastor Shelby, who is a great community pastor who really makes himself available at anything I have ever asked him for from the very beginning of my sojourn in Champaign-Urbana. He has just been overly joyed to support us. You and I, Aaron, have been strongly supported by Pastor Shelby and Salem Baptist Church. And so I just want to send out love to Pastor Shelby this morning. And then the final one, which is in the range of the 6 weeks from now, is a community discussion, solutions to gun violence. This is obviously a very big issue going on here in Champaign-Urbana and throughout the state. We need to deal with this issue of gun violence, whether it's in the community, young people, or husband to wife, or police to community. We need to deal with this. And so we're going to talk about that on February 15th, which is a Monday evening. I know Councilman Ammons will be at council at some point, but we start at 5:30, so that'll give you a little time before council to join us on the community discussion on gun violence.
Well, I want to make sure that, you know, all your future dates are not on Mondays and not on Thursdays, you know, because we got our Speak Truth that we do from 5:30 to 7 out at the Whip on Thursdays. And so you got an event that you planned from 5:30 to 7 this Thursday. And then now you're telling me you got something on a Monday night where I got to be at council. I think you and your team need to do a better job of scheduling around the other dates that we have going on in the community. But anyway, I want to thank you for calling. Madam State Representative, I really do appreciate you calling in for a few moments there. There was something that I did want to ask you about. You mentioned the word service and talked about Dr. King and his service. And you talked about the importance of people getting involved and bringing their service to the community. I wanted you to elaborate on that a little bit, if you would.
Well, I think, you know, service is a intricate part of being related to one another as people, human beings. But community service means that I'm going to put my own wishes and desires sometimes aside so that I can address the greater need of my community, which is also addressing my own needs. And I think about it as I was working on the Dr. King speech for the coming Sunday, January 17th. And you and I were working through this, and I shared with you, just as you know, my real love and respect for Mother Teresa. May God be pleased with her and her service, because she was a teacher who was, you know, doing as teachers do, teaching in classes in over in Europe and other countries. And she received a call to service, and that's how it's described, as a call to service. And that call to service was one of a life of piety, serving the downtrodden, the ill, the sick, the throwaway in the society. And she spent a lifetime doing that. And in essence, the world respected and loved her for her service. All of us have something that we can give, not necessarily to the level of Mother Teresa, unless, of course, that is your calling. But you can serve in your own community. You can feed someone in your community. You can help to shelter them and clothe them in your community. And you can also help in service in public office, which we must do. We need people to serve in school boards, in those boardrooms, as well as in Congress. We need people on all levels to say, I'm willing to sacrifice my family, my own family time, to the greater good of our community, our state, and our nation. That is the calling of service that I believe some of us are called to, and more of us need to pay attention to and to act upon.
All right, so there you're hearing it from your servant, your Sister Carol, state representative, about the importance of service, whether it's community service, serve you one another. I mean, this is a really critical point of our system of government and your participation in that. How do you serve in that capacity? So, listen, I want to thank you for calling in. Any other different things that you all have been discussing that would be of importance to I'm sure everything is.
Well, I think as you said about the service, you know, your next guest is going to talk about, you know, his own commitment to service, but as well as the importance of voting rights and the Voting Rights Act. What has happened and why is it happening that you are being systematically removed from the most important parts of personal service that you give to your community? Meaning the access to the ballot, the access to the voting booth, the access to resources in your community, to education, to criminal justice. I mean, these are things that you must pay attention to, the tide that is attempting to remove your very basic human rights. And people are not necessarily responding appropriately to the removal of your rights. And I think that is the unfortunate shift, or perhaps it's the evidence of people really losing faith in their ability to make change or to make change happen. And so I just, you know, when you're thinking about service, it doesn't have to be on the scale of President Obama or Mother Teresa. But it really needs to be, you know, am I going to sit by and allow Officer Rush to conduct himself in a way that is disrespectful of our community, our service, our police department, that the system that we want to design, right, to create? He goes contrary to that system, and those who support him go contrary to that system. Am I going to sit aside and allow them to continue to create a system of privilege, of above the law, of disrespecting the human rights of other people? Am I going to sit aside and allow that system to be created by he and those who support him? That is the question that I ask to the listeners of this station, and I will ask to people as I travel. You are working up against something here. There is a parallel system that is created, that exists, that must be destroyed in order for a system for all to exist.
And so one of the things that Dr. King quoted on several occasions is that it, at some point your silence becomes either consent or a form of betrayal. Right. So on these particular issues, very tough issues where you or some other person may remain silent on the issue that silence is a form of betrayal or a consent that you agree, because we are governed by the laws and policies are supposed to be formed by the consent of the governed. Right. Yeah. Those who agree, those who have participated in the process have agreed that this should be law, that this should be policy. So when you think back to during the 40s and 50s and before the civil rights movement, when there were actual laws on the books that two black people couldn't walk down the street together. Now, who in their right mind today would say that that is a legitimate policy law that should govern the people? But it was the consent of the dominant white group at that time who locked black people out of voting to say that this was a legitimate law. So you see, the laws and policies are really shaped and formed by the consent of the people, right? Yeah. Who are governed by them. So when you do not participate, when you don't bring forth ideas, when you don't organize and demand that some law be changed, be revamped, be reformed or removed, then it stays on the books. And then you have to answer to that. But you do a disservice to yourself and to the very community that you say needs different things or needs a change when you don't participate and bring forth the idea and organize other people to press that and to make your legislator or your representative push it and to push it until it becomes law. Or it's for you to organize to organize and create the momentum so that the work is easier at the legislative level. From my observation, we elect people like President Obama or you or whoever we send, your predecessor, whoever we send. We think they are supposed to go there and make magic happen when there is no will of the people. You don't have a mandate from a vast number of people and a large number of people to say, look, this is what we want. And if you don't have that, then it's very difficult for you to get something passed.
And on top of that, we have people who are unfortunately, although there were ballots cast for people, right? There were cast ballots. People go to different positions and then begin to represent the interests of those who maintain them there, right?
Right.
So who pays? Who pays is who they begin to speak for. And that is the most detrimental part of having so much money in your electoral politics, is the people can send them there, but will they remain true to the issues of the people who sent them there? That is a very big problem in the current political structure. I see it.
So what you're saying is that even after you get the person in, maybe you've done this grassroots exercise and you've done a bunch of work to get a person there, there's still accountability, that the accountability is really supposed to come from the people. And if you don't stay on top of the person that you have elected, that you have voted for, if you don't continue to that vigilance, then it's very difficult for that person, or you leave that person to their own devices, so to speak, to maybe possibly be bought off by the highest
stronger
bidder
interest.
Or whoever.
Yeah,
but, you know,
interest.
So it happens. And I think that kind of goes hand in hand with this whole capitalist society. When you have a group of people who are trying to go to work every day and just trying to make ends meet and deal with the realities of life and of poverty, you know, how much time is left to actually work on those particular issues? And that's where the service and the sacrifice comes from, because in order for you to actually shape the life that you want so that it can resemble the desires that you have, you're going to have to do more than just simply go to work for 8 hours or be a student. You have to be a student as well as a concerned citizen or a resident within America. You have to actually participate in the governmental process and electoral process.
And most things that have changed, I believe, have been changed by, in so many regards, people with few resources, right? I mean, the laws that have been changed was just people pooling their resources together and advocating against big money and big money interests. That happens all the time. And so even if people say, well, I don't have a lot, You know, I have a constituent that donates $5 a month to me every month, consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not seem like a lot to some people, but that $5 a month that that constituent has on automatic debit that just simply comes to help support my efforts. And what are you supporting? You're supporting the work, the staff, the people who make sure we stay connected in our community as we do our legislative work. That's what you're supporting. So that example is that person may not have a lot of money, but they are willing to give $5 to me every single month so that I can continue to provide the service that we provide in our community. That's what it will take. So that may, you know, oh, well, I don't have anything. I ain't got no $150 for this, that, and the other. That's not what we're saying. Maybe you don't on that regard, but you can on this one, right? You do what you can do, and you allow us to work in a way that reflects the best interests of our community, and that's what we really need to start talking about and doing.
Well, I think I know it's certainly refreshing to a lot of people. They see all the different events that are popping up, the conversations and access to other legislators and people who they haven't had access to before, or certainly there hasn't been this type of effort to force these conversations and discussions to take place around the city, different locations. I mean, there's been several different state reps that I've seen that you have brought in. You know, it's just been a lot of different things that have taken place. And I think people really appreciate the opportunity to participate in the roundtable discussions, the committee meetings that you have,
panels
that you have. So, I mean, I certainly think people are starting to see the importance of that and participate even more. So, hey, listen, I got to go.
I appreciate you
took up way too much time on my show.
I just had to get my half. Give me my half. Peace and blessings.
Same to you. And
Happy New Year.
Same to you. Thank you very much for calling.
All right, peace.
Bye. All right. So y'all had a few minutes with Sister Carol, with the state rep, her taking over my show, hijacking and stuff, pushing me around and stuff like she does on a regular basis. My guest has just stepped in the building. I'm going to give him a few minutes to get warmed up while I just kind of finish up. You know, one of the things that we just left the holiday season, basically. Now we're starting a new year. And, you know, we celebrate Kwanzaa. And so yesterday was the final day, or the seventh day, of the Nguzu Saba, which is Imani, which means faith. And so we had a wonderful time with Amir and Tatiana and Jaleel and some of the folks up in Joliet, some of the relatives, Pat and Ray and all of the children, talking about the importance of living a principled life and to you know, be proud of who you are, to shake off any sort of negative stereotypes of that have been dumped upon you, to shake off a colonized mind and to enjoy who you are, to be yourself. So as we celebrated Kwanzaa, we had a wonderful time invoking the spirits of our ancestors with our libations or tambiko, learning a little key Swahili and learning the importance of African culture and African-American culture, and also really focusing on things like cooperative economics and collective work and responsibility, some of the principles. And as we talk about this election that's coming up, it's going to take some collective work and responsibility to get it done, right? You know what I mean? It won't be easy to get some fresh blood in at the county level, to get some new folks in and stuff like that. So listen, I want to thank y'all for listening thus far, but you can give me a call down here, 217-359-5483. Or 217-359-6545. I'm going to play a little music for y'all, a little more Songs in the Key of Life, Stevie Wonder's Black Man. And then when I return, I will be on with my guest, Mr. Matt Duco. So y'all stay tuned.
Man to die for the Barack Hussein Obama.
All right. We are coming back. This is indeed the final year of our wonderful president. I support the man. I know he ain't perfect, but certainly he has made some mistakes in his run as president. Certainly he has made some mistakes, but this is the last year of our president, Barack Hussein Obama. And certainly he has received quite a few attacks for so many things, but also done some pretty profound things as president. And as we move out of the Stevie Wonder's piece with the swearing in of Barack Obama as president, I also want to welcome my guest down here at the show. He is none other than Mr. Matt Duco. I call him Duco.
Thanks, Aaron, for having me here today, and Happy New Year to you, everybody listening.
All right, we sure do appreciate that. In case there is a call, those headphones right there, if somebody calls in, you can slip them on there. They're going to cut your ears up and everything, but you can still listen, you can hear them.
And I welcome the questions.
Right. So listen, you all, Matt Duco is an attorney here at Spiros Law, right around the corner from where we are now.
Fourth University, it's the old Ginza building.
That's right, the old flower spot there where everybody used to go and get this stuff at. And it's a nice place. Y'all got it hooked up nice over there. And also, Matt has done some work with as an attorney for the local NAACP, in particular around some of the campaigns and voting rights that we were challenging, or Patricia Avery and NAACP was working on. But also, he has done a lot of work with the Young Democrats. He's the president of the Champaign County Young Democrats, and he's also running for Recorder of Deeds and for Champaign County Recorder of Deeds. Talk to the people a little bit there, Matt.
Yeah, well, thanks for the introduction. So I'm great to be here, and it's a new year. It's going to be an exciting year for me. Like you said, I'm running for Champaign County Recorder of Deeds. Now, I'm not a politician. I've never run for anything before in my life. It's my first time doing it. So, but the reason why I thought that I wanted to get engaged, get and run, is I have a real sense of getting back to community service and public service. And like you said, I've been involved in some other aspects of that with the NAACP here locally. I was the chair of the Voting Empowerment Committee, which was something that we've organized here locally for the first time. And I've been passionate about voting rights for a long time. And it really started when I first came to Champaign County as a university student in 2001. And so I was involved in the 2002 election, working for Naomi Jacobson. And she's actually the co-chair of my campaign for Recorder along with Patricia Avery. So I have two women here who've been serving this community a long time and know a lot about it. But during that election in 2002, I witnessed a lot of things that just weren't right. I was a poll watcher on election day. So I sat in there, and all I had was a piece of paper. And it was from the state Democratic Party that said, these are, you know, the laws. This is how people can vote. I was like 20 years old. And sitting there with that piece of paper, there were a lot of people that voted that day that wouldn't have if I wasn't there. Because there were was a Republican poll watcher. And he sat there and had a directory, a student directory. And anybody who was in that student directory, he challenged. And, you know, at first, I think.
So wait a minute, let me make sure I understand. So when you were first involved, you were a student, right?
Yeah,
as
right.
a poll watcher.
Exactly.
And a poll watcher is someone who sits at one of the election sites and you watched what's going on to make sure there's nothing, you know, unethical or something like that happening.
Well, exactly. But actually, a poll watcher is you're a representative of a campaign. So you're sitting there as a representative of a campaign, and the point is so that, you know, every campaign can sit there and have somebody watching, making sure the rules are being followed. And they can talk directly to the election judges, and they can also challenge any voter who they think isn't there and shouldn't be voted. And, you know, it's obviously a rule meant to prevent, like, election fraud. And there were definitely problems with that way back in the day, hundreds of years ago.
So you were sitting there for Naomi Jacobson as a Democrat, watching to make sure that, you know, just things went the way they were supposed to. But you said there was a Republican poll watcher there who had a book, a student, and wrote basically a student, what do you call it, directory?
Exactly. It was student directory. U of I used to publish a student directory. They don't do it anymore. But they used to publish a student directory, sat there with that, and challenged everybody who was in there. So
every
challenged
student.
Every single student. Right.
Wow.
And that's not the way you're supposed to do that. But luckily, just sitting there with a piece of paper, I was able to help argue. And I had to say, oh, well, you know, this person has a piece of mail in their hand. And the election judge was like, well, do you know, we have that. Let me check that out. And their piece of mail has their address on it. Okay, we'll let you vote. And so I was kind of advocating for these students' right to vote and trying to do everything I could to get them to get get a ballot. And I think it's something that's affected me a long time. Mm. And, you know, that was right here in Champaign County. But I've done voting rights all over the state. You know, I've seen other stuff. Did it in Joliet. And have you ever heard of voter caging?
Voter caging? No. Mm-hmm. What is that?
So voter caging is where you take a piece of mail and you mail it to a very particular precinct. And the way it's been abused is by mailing it to predominantly African-American precincts. And then any mail that comes back returned, you go to the polling location. If those people try to vote, then they challenge them based on, well, I got this letter and their address is returned. Well, it's inherently discriminatory. Number one, you can't really trust the post office all the time to get the mail there.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, you can't really trust somebody who's just coming off the street. And in my point of view, is that this is somebody's right to vote. It's a constitutional right, and I think a lot of people forget that mm-hmm. sometimes. That you know, you got to think about it. It's as serious as taking away somebody's right to practice their religion or their free speech,
mm-hmm.
and it certainly is free speech.
So voter caging. Let me make sure I understand. I hope the listeners, you all, can feel free to give us a call at 217-359-5483 or 217-359-6545. So voter caging. You're saying that, for instance, I would mail you, I'll look up the sort of directory where you're supposed to live. I'll send you a piece of mail.
Right.
And then that piece of mail comes back.
Right.
Now, then you show up at the election voting site and you offer the address that I sent you a piece of mail to. But because it got sent back to me, I'll challenge your ability to vote under that address, basically. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Okay. What I'm saying, yeah. But although when you go vote, you don't necessarily offer up your address. You know, you sign your name and mm-hmm. you go to the right precinct. So there might be people who move within a precinct.
Mm-hmm.
And
so these are just tactics that people use exactly. to try to keep you from voting, because we all know that the Republican Party wants right. fewer people to vote. Right.
Well, this would be targeted at African American precincts. Now, they used to do it back
in the
day.
Which are predominantly African, predominantly Democratic district.
Right. It's a partisan effort. It's mm-hmm. meant to try to win campaigns. It's not meant to, you know, make voting process any more equal or uh-huh. or fair.
And you're saying your work has always been to make this process more open, more fair, more equitable for everybody involved.
Yeah. And like I said, I started doing it on the partisan side, like for Democrats. But mm-hmm. it just happens that Democrats are always... seem to be the ones trying to help people to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And but I was able to transition into the NAACP here locally and do it on behalf of that group, which is because, you know, whenever I help the Democratic candidate out, I tell them, you know, the reason I'm here is just to help people vote. And I don't know. It's really inspiring to me to know that there's people who voted who wouldn't have mm-hmm. over the years because of work I've done. And I think it's really important. Why would you want to discourage young people from voting and get involved? I don't understand that.
Well,
even if you think it's going to give you some slight edge, you know, I don't think it's worth it.
And one of the things that you said, you started the conversation from the standpoint of service. Mm-hmm. When you came here, you served as a poll watcher. How much did you get paid for serving as a poll watcher?
Well, poll watchers volunteer. Yeah.
That's my point, right? We were talking about exactly. service earlier and talking about contributions. You know, these are not things that you necessarily get paid dollar amounts for, but it's the right thing to do, and it helps the system be as strong as it should be. And when you have policies that are equitable and just, then everybody gets served in that process. You get paid, so to speak, in that process.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And being an election judge, you do get paid $100 for the day, and you have to take one training class, which I think you can do online here in Champaign County. So if anybody's interested, they should look into mm-hmm. that.
So
that's always because election judges are the ones ultimately who are there and get to decide people's rights to vote.
That's
so
right.
it's an important duty to do, and I think anybody who's ever done that.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a long day.
Well, it is a long day, but it's not. It's kind of like jury service. You're not getting paid a whole bunch of money, but you're getting something for your time. And I do think there's something to be said for that. And a lot of people would appreciate. I mean, $100 is $100. It could, you know, it's food on the table, it's gas in the car, it's whatever it may, you know, can be used for. And it's an important service. It's an important part of this process, electoral process. So. We've talked a little bit about voting rights on a local level.
Mm-hmm.
When you see a lot of the things that are taking place with your work with the NAACP and stuff. What's happening even on a national level, so to speak, with the voting rights? What we hear that African Americans and African American precincts are now going to be, it's going to be very difficult in certain states for African Americans to vote or for having access to the ballot and stuff like that. So what's happening? Why is this something that's still going on now after so much work being done to get African Americans the right to vote?
Well, the reason it happens is because of partisan politics. There's one party who thinks it's in their electoral interest to keep black people from voting, to keep students from voting, and to make it harder for people who live transient to vote. Mm-hmm. That's the reason it happens. The good thing is here in Illinois, we live in a state where we have actually, the laws are moving in the right direction, making voting easier. So now, you know, since back then when I was a poll watcher, now today, that tactic would be far less effective because, first off, you're going to have same-day registration in each precinct. So even if somebody has moved, they can still register that day and update their address and, mm-hmm. and vote. There's also early voting. So you can go and early vote, and 25% of people now do that through early voting. Vote by mail, you can vote strictly by mail. But here in Illinois, and the reason why I'm still involved in the voting issues is they're still, although you have the good laws, you have to make sure they're being applied and enforced the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always just as big of a question sometimes. So interestingly, I'll talk about 2014 a little bit, and I know you there's a lot of people who worked on this issue, but it was the first time in Illinois where we had Sunday voting. And that was very important, especially from the NAACP's perspective, because Sunday voting, and they have Souls to the Polls programs at African-American churches in other states, specifically North Carolina, where it had been very successful in mm-hmm. helping to increase turnout in black community. And so it's something that was important for us here. But when we looked at it, even though the law had passed, we saw that Champaign County wasn't having it. And also, I was helping a congressional campaign for Ann Callis,
mm-hmm.
and we saw McLean County also wasn't doing it. And so went to both these counties and said, this is what the law says. It says that any county with a population over 100,000 has to have their permanent early voting site open on Sundays. And luckily here in Champaign County, we were able to convince the county clerk to do that, and he's been far more open than past county clerks to, mm-hmm. to changing things and willing to work with people to make sure he's following the law the right way. And we were able to do Souls to the Polls program, and I know you were involved in mm-hmm. it. Carol's campaign was involved in it. A lot of people were. And it was a really good effort there to mobilize people out. And I forget, but we had several hundred people vote both Sundays. So, but in McLean County, they ended up not doing it. And what happened was some other election law attorneys who do voter protection talked to me and said, our fear is, if you do this and you sue up in McLean County and lose, well, other counties then might, Republican county clerks might say, well, okay, we're going to cancel Sunday voting now because they said the law changed. And so they were afraid that ultimately, we could lose more counties, since there were places like Champaign and Sangamon and other counties where with big African-American populations were doing them. They said more are doing them than aren't, so let's mm-hmm. keep it up. But just to understand a little bit about how ridiculous their legal argument was on this, is the way the law was written, it says you can have temporary branch early voting sites. And the temporary branch early voting sites don't have to be open, the same hours as the permanent mm-hmm. early voting site. And then the permanent early voting site in a county over 100,000 has to be open on Sundays. So what they said was, well, we don't have a permanent early voting site. The place where all our voting records are and all our staff is and where our office is, that's a temporary branch location. There's nothing in the law that says we have to have a permanent location. So, it's like, this is the extents they go. And when you think about it, ultimately, I'm thinking about it, and is it, the partisan issue? Or I mean, could it be that there's somebody that just doesn't want to work 2-4 Saturdays out of the Sundays out of the year? I mean, is that what it comes down to?
Wow.
Because that's not service.
No, that's not.
And you shouldn't be in that position. And you did say I'm running for county recorder. And that's why, you know, when I was running, I came up with the idea. The office now, it's open 8:30 to 4:30. I think 8 to 4:30 is Monday through Friday it's open now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, other people who, you know, are working and they can't get off to go down to the recorder's office who would utilize the services that are offered there, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of different services there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that it's harder for some people to take days off in the middle, time off in the middle of the week. You might have to use that time to pick your kid up from school or, you know, when they're sick or something like that. So I was thinking, you know, let's have the office open on Saturday. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a good paying job, and there's no reason why I couldn't go in there in the afternoon on Saturdays if there's people willing to come down there and, you know, have the office open. And I know, so I think that that's a different approach to it, how you can really serve the community. Because you're somebody hired by the voters and by the people. I think that's who you should be serving.
Well, let's talk about this. So you pretty articulately clarified for the people listening that you have been willing to serve. You've worked on several different campaigns. You've worked with the local chapter of the NAACP to help on some of the those initiatives, like you talked about Souls to the Polls, and you talked about voting locations, and I know you've done extensive work on making sure the students have access to voting, same day registration. All these are very critical things, especially for turnout, and it's very important, I believe, in the African American community as well. And you've talked about you have some experience in the legal realm. Obviously, you're well read. You have, as an attorney, you look at things and you look at the fine print, and you can understand what's being presented. And so when you talk about the services, or you talk about your desire to run for this office, you've clearly served and you're continuing to do so. What exactly is it that you plan to bring to this office that's not already there? And, you know, you talked about opening on Saturdays. That's one thing, which I think certainly some people get up early or at some point on a Saturday morning and head over to take care of some business that they couldn't do during the week. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, so you know, when people actually first asked me to start thinking about running for this, like I said, I never run for anything before. I never saw myself doing that, really. But I started to research the office, and I started to look into, you know, what the county recorder's office does, what's going on, and recent changes in the law. And one of the things that the recorder's office is doing right now is on the front line of protecting people from property fraud, which is the number one growing white-collar crime in the United States right now. And I've been an attorney now. I just started my eighth year being an attorney, and I work at Spiros Law, like you said. But before that, I worked at a firm doing helping the victims of financial and property fraud, and from a civil perspective, and helping them, you know, recoup their losses and, mm-hmm. and repair their lives. And I was looking at some of the issues going on in property fraud here locally. So there's a new law that was recently passed 2 years ago that allows the county recorder's office to put in place a property fraud review and referral process, which would allow the county recorder's office to help a homeowner invalidate anything blatantly fraudulent filed against their home, which is important because right now, currently in Champaign County and in most county recorder's offices across Illinois and across the country, when people go file something there, as long as they pay the fee and they filed it on the correct, you know, size paper, then they're going to take it and file it. It doesn't matter if it's blatantly fraudulent. And there's definitely ways that you can look for red flags to highlight what, you know, could be fraudulent. Doesn't matter. And they'll be allowed to file it. And
pause for a quick second, because we've said the term fraud several different times. We talk about voter fraud and we talk about property fraud. Just for a working definition for the listeners out there, give me an example of something that would be or a definition of fraud in the way that you're using it now.
Okay. So property fraud encompasses all kinds of different things. And like you said, I think it's a good point. It's a very general term. But it could be something as simple as somebody recording taking out a mortgage on your house, and then they get the money and they run off. You know, there's mortgage fraud is definitely in the property fraud context the most common kind. Could also encompass things that multi-billion-dollar corporations are doing, like there was the robo-signing fraud, where there was a multi-million-dollar settlement against a lot of large companies because they weren't filing the correct affidavits when they were trying to foreclose on people's properties. And a lot of recorder's offices were the first ones to highlight that issue and that was going on. So it could just encompass also if you're purchasing a property and there's a squatter there who's just going to harass you, and that's called paper stalking. So he'll just go down there, keep filing things. You go to the police, and they'll tell you this is a civil matter. They're not even going to kick the guy out if you have a court order because the guy has a piece of paper too. Mm-hmm. So what we can do, though, here in Champaign County now is put in place this process. And then before anything's filed, you, me or the staff will go through and check for red flags for anything that might indicate fraud. And if it does, you call the homeowner, talk to the homeowner, and you can work with them then to get it invalidated through an administrative law review process.
So you're saying that if I'm a homeowner, somebody else who works in this fraudulent field, who is a criminal trying to do something, trying to defraud me of my property or some money, they could just go down to the county, Champaign County Recorder of Deeds, and give a fake document that says that they're the homeowner?
Absolutely, yeah.
And then and they get money from that somehow?
Well, you know, like I said, there's very various ways where they can be making money out of it, or mm-hmm. it could just be also simple harassment too happens.
Okay.
So it could be either one of those, but most commonly, you know,
but it's a headache for the homeowner. Yeah,
for instance, like I said, through fraudulent documents, somebody could take a mortgage out on your house, take the money, and then run. And then at the end of the day, all of a sudden somebody's trying to foreclose on your house, and you don't know what's going on. Certainly, that happens in that context. We've seen it in the context of some of the cases I worked on as a lawyer were had to do with reverse mortgage scams, where people are convinced to take out mortgages on their homes, even though they're paid off, in order to buy high risk different products.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different contexts where it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is right now, if it happens to you in these financial and property fraud cases, is the police aren't going to help you. They're going to tell you it's a civil matter. Then you have to hire an attorney and you have to pay court costs in order to get back to zero.
And you're saying that as the new Champaign County Recorder, your office would help prevent people from having to go through those lengthy, expensive, heart-wrenching experiences because you could catch it on the front end.
Yeah, and not only that, but we could also then, with the homeowner's approval, go through an administrative law review process, have that document invalidated, and then with no cost to the homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not something that's costing him any money, but it's a service that's being offered. And the county can't, you know, the recorder's office can be doing it, and it's not yet. And that's the biggest reason why I decided to run was I want to put in place this process.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. You kind of piqued my interest because I'm still trying to see how somebody could just walk into the office and with a fake mortgage and then start collecting money from my property if I'm the rightful owner of the property. And so how does this happen a lot in Champaign County?
Like I said, it is the number one growing white collar crime in the United States. And the FBI has, it's a very emerging issue right now,
mm-hmm.
But the FBI has recently done a study, and they said that Illinois ranks as the fourth most susceptible to property fraud based on various different indicators.
Now, and so your prior work working on these types of issues in the previous firm, as well as being the recorder of deeds, would put you in a position to help us not be so high on that list, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and provide that protection. And there's no reason not to provide it. I don't think that there's we should be having that protection here. And like you said, people don't think about it. And you don't think about it until it happens to you. And I've worked with a lot of the victims of these frauds, and I could tell you, it can be devastating.
Mm-hmm.
So, but one way I think everybody now should, one thing everybody listening, if they haven't done, should do is, because another issue is how do you even know about it? Well, you wouldn't even know anybody's filed anything on your property. But here in Champaign County, there is a alert system that you could sign up for online. If you go to propertyfraudalert.com, that's propertyfraudalert.com, you go there, you can sign up for free. And if there's anything filed in your name at the recorder's office, you get an email or a phone call about it. And that way, if you haven't, well, I didn't file anything in my house, you could go there and check it out and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Or otherwise, if it's something like, yeah, you know, I just, you know, refinance my mortgage.
You know, these are some of the things that I was talking to the state representative, Sister Carol, about when you said you were listening earlier. It's about getting the information. If we're telling these citizens that they have to participate, they have to serve, then one of the objectives, that one of the things that must take place is that they must have good information in order to participate, right? You know, so whether it's the committees or the panel discussions, the panels that she has, or what you're doing right now. I mean, I wrote it down, propertyfraudalert.com. I had never heard of that. Right. And I didn't know it was such a emerging issue as you're describing now. So getting the information to people. And of course, that's one of the beauties of WEFT. And I'm sure you'll make your $100 donation yearly donation to WEFT before you leave. But getting this type of information out to people, you need your community radio stations. You need the volunteers. You need people who care, who want to serve, who want to share the information with people, because it is indeed extremely valuable. Because if two people call, if two people go in there checked and they find that, hey, what's going on here, and they find out something, it's because the information that you shared right here, WEFT 90.1 FM on higher ground with Brother A-Dub. So listen, y'all can still give us a call at 217-359-5483 or 217-359-6545. I have on this morning as my guest none other than Mr. Matt Duco. He is the running for Champaign County Recorder of Deeds. He's the Democrat on the ballot, and he wants your support. So he wants you to give him a call down here at 217-359-5483. He wants a live ball question and a hard question. So give him a call down here, 217-359-5483.
Yeah, so, and I do need those hard questions, you know. So I want to give you early.
I'm going to give you one right now.
Election day is not out until November 8th.
All right.
So
let's get it on now.
It's a long process, so I'll take the hard questions now.
$93,000 this office makes, this position pays. Is that correct?
This seems to be something a lot of people like to talk about, especially in the newspaper. But, yeah, it's definitely a good paid position. And I've said that I think it is probably on the high side.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think, you know, people should be paid well, and there should be, you know, definitely want everyone to be making a living wage. But at the same time, I think it's not just the how high it is, but it's the fact that this position keeps going higher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since the start of the recession in 2008, over the past 7 years, it's gone up about 51% the salary for it. And this is at the same time when the county has been cutting people's wages or making people do furloughs. And so I don't understand cutting services completely. You know, I guess I don't understand
51%.
How you can keep raising the salary so high when you know that there's these problems going on. Now, the county board sets it, so it's actually going to come up, I think, here relatively soon.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you know anybody on the county board, you can let them know how you feel about it. I've let them know.
Mm-hmm.
So
at the end of the day, it pays $93,000 a year, but it also is something that this salary is set by the county board, right?
Exactly.
And so we need to really be pressing on this particular issue, because the reality is that the party in which we represent has been the majority for some time now.
Well, and the weird part about the salary issue, though, is that every office holder right now, county office holder right now, is Republican, except for Julia Reitz. But technically, as a state senator, that's a state's position.
And mm-hmm.
Actually, it can be combined in multiple counties. But and her salary is set by the state. She hasn't had a raise in over 5 years. But for some reason, at the county level, it has always been all of the Republicans and one or two Democrats who vote in these pay raises. Mm-hmm. So it kind of is a partisan issue, and I'm not sure why. And we're losing on it, even though we have, even though there's a majority of Democrats on the county board.
So basically, the majority of the Dems were voting against it.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and the. I mean, you mean the Republicans who are always talking about smaller government and being fiscally responsible are pressing for a 51% increase in these particular offices that they hold for the most part?
Coincidentally, they hold them all. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
But no, I definitely think that having some oversight in Brookings, having at least one Democrat there, would be a good thing.
So right now you have a Republican county recorder of deeds. You have a Republican auditor. You have a Republican county clerk. And a Republican sheriff also.
And coroner.
So all of the county offices.
Circuit clerk.
And the circuit clerk are all held by
treasurer,
all held by Republicans, and most of them. And so, which ones are these?
And they're all $93,000.
And they're all $93,000 or more.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's a true statement. So, I express my position at least in regard to recorder's office that I would certainly do the job for less.
Mm-hmm.
They're about to set it. And you did mention the current county recorder actually is retiring, though. She's been there 20 years, and she's retiring. And so we'll be electing a new county recorder for the first time in 20 years. And at the top, I remember you said when you first started that it's important that we start locally to make change. And mm-hmm. that's where change really starts, is on the local level. And that's why I think, that we need to look at this issue here locally. And when we got somebody, who's going to get elected here, county recorder, they could be there for a long time.
All right. Go ahead, caller. You on the air.
Hey, it's Paul. I should be working on my show. I'm coming up in a half hour, but I thought I'd prime it here a little bit. And, well, if it's an overpaid job and you said they're cutting services, is there any idea that you have for, expanding some services, maybe doing some consumer education in terms of this area? And you said you've worked on this, the fraud aspect before. Do you know how much slicing and dicing and all of that stuff that went into the real estate collapse that caused all of this, led in a large part to a lot of this economic meltdown? How much was that actually happening in Champaign County? And would a better recorder of deeds, I guess, been more astute and looked at what was happening? So I realize there's a lot there, but it leaves you opening to talk about your past role in working on this scandalous and still not but a handful of people in jail, and mainly for the wrong things because they screwed the wrong rich folks as opposed to the rank and file people who have been dispossessed and had their whatever savings they've had in their houses and otherwise depleted. So I got to go and hang in there. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call, Paul.
Bye-bye.
So there you have a lot. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think that raising awareness of the office is something that I do think needs to be done. Now, in regards to Barb Fresca, she's been there a long time, and she did start some initiatives related to property fraud, like the website, propertyfraudalert.com. It's a free service the office offers. But I do think, she's not going to put any new initiatives in probably here in her last year.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I'd like to see that website expanded where it could work on parcel number in addition to just name. So that way, I think you could protect your property too, not just your name.
Mm-hmm.
And you get alerted if anything's filed against your piece of property you own. So there's ways I think that the office can be. I think that it's a great point, and that was something I was trying to emulate earlier, is that it's a good paying job, but I want to throw myself fully into it. I don't want to make it a part-time job. I do want to be out there raising awareness of the office. Another thing that I want to talk about and raise awareness about is the fact that veterans can file their discharge paperwork there. It's called their DD-214s. They file it there because they get benefits for the rest of their life, but they always have to show their routinely have to show their DD-214s in order to get into college, refinance their home, get into, you know, all types of different benefits they have. But they could file it here locally so that if they ever lose it, they could head down to the recorder's office and get a free copy. It's a free service that the office offers. I was out going door to door, and there was somebody who I had talked to who's one of their family members was trying to go to Parkland College with veterans assistance. She had just gotten out, but did not have her DD-214. She had to push it off for a whole semester. If, one of the first things she had done was to file it at the recorder's office, she could have gone down there and got it, and she would have started school on time.
Mm-hmm.
So, because waiting for your another copy from the VA could take a long time.
Mm.
So that's another service I think that really needs to be out there and aware. I think definitely a lot more veterans are aware about it, but there's still too many that aren't.
Okay. All right. And so I think he said something about the sort of economic meltdown or the property crisis. So I don't know exactly what, I think he was trying to just see to what degree a county recorder of deeds could interrupt that process, or I'm not even exactly sure, but there was some, I don't know if this would be something. What about this?
Well,
there were subprime loans. You talked about reverse mortgages, right, and all that kind of stuff. Is that something that your office would do consumer education around?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Do consumer education around all the different types of property fraud. They're definitely, whenever you're involved in this, whether the recorder's office could have stopped it, it's not going to stop everything. It's not going to come up with everything or help everybody. But at the same time, you can highlight these issues, and hopefully people are more aware about it,
mm-hmm,
or they could, find out about it. Or if they're involved in it and they have to go down to the recorder's office, you just offer good service where they can get in and out quickly, and you help them out.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one aspect, though, I think that really did directly relate to the financial crisis was the robo-signing fraud. Which this was, they were trying to sell these securities so quickly that they wouldn't go through the proper procedures in order to get affidavits signed and sworn to by the correct people mm-hmm, on file to actually switch the ownership of the mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, they would just have one person signing people's names who they shouldn't have been signing. And, that's serious offense.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these mortgage companies that were buying up these securities were doing it that way.
Mm.
And so that's called the robo-signing fraud. And eventually there was a settlement with a multi-state settlement, but part of it included the Attorney General's office here in Illinois. Mm. And now they do foreclosure mediation programs for people going through foreclosures, which is financed in part by a fund set up from that.
Okay. Well, listen here. I want to say something to my listeners out there, because I haven't heard from enough of you at this particular point. We're down here at WEFT 90.1 FM, P.O. Box 1223, Champaign, Illinois, 61824 1223. If you wanted to mail your financial support to WEFT, you could do it at WEFT 90.1 FM, P.O. Box 1223, Champaign, Illinois, 61824-1223. You can set up a payment plan of financial support to www.weft.org. And so those of you who want to support us down here, you can walk on down to give your financial support to 113 North Market Street in downtown Champaign, or make a phone call to 217-359-9338. I'm pushing this because we're always looking for your support, whether it's a helping hand, whether it's just coming down here to the Great Hall and participating, helping shelf some CDs, helping bring your expertise to getting ice off a transmitter, whatever it might be. This is a local alternative radio station where the people run it, and you can have these direct conversations, have air shifters like myself. I've been down here at WEFT for over a decade now, and it's an amazing place to be. And we can have conversations like this uninterrupted. And if I don't want to play no commercials, I don't have to. So, but right now I want to hear from you. You got a young man in front of you who's been doing good work in the community, and he's educating us a little bit about county offices, the recorder of deeds office. Many of us didn't even know it existed. Now we're finding out it's here. It's extremely important. It pays quite well. And people should know about the services that are offered there. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the other services that are offered there? And one of the questions that I think people want to know is, if you're an attorney, why in the world would you leave an attorney's position to go be a, to be an elected official in this office? How would you balance those two?
Well, that's a great question. And like I said, the reason is because I wanted to get doing public service full time. And it's something that I think really I'm passionate about and want to get involved in. And I've picked an area, I think, the county recorder's office, where I can do a lot of good. And I have some unique qualifications for it. So
you can even use your skills as an attorney there.
But as far as balancing my time, you know, I would do the job full time, so I wouldn't be an attorney anymore. I'd be county recorder full time. I'd like I said, I have a lot of goals I'd like to accomplish, so I'd like to focus time on that. The one thing I would say is, you know, I have been doing some pro bono legal work, like you've mentioned. I probably would keep doing that, but not having like a legal job. So unfortunately, I would be leaving the firm I work at now, which has been it's a great group of people there and a great firm. So it's definitely a tough decision, but I think it would be a great experience, and whether I would do it forever, I have no idea, but I just think there's a lot of good I could do in four years.
Okay. All right. And so what about you talked about other services that this office provides. What are some other things that we may be missing that the average person wouldn't know that you can have done at the Recorder of Deeds office?
Sure. So let's recap. You can go to propertyfraudalert.com and you can sign up so that you get a free alert if anybody records anything that has your name on it. And if I'm elected recorder, I want to expand that to if anything's filed against your house, regardless if it has your name on it. We've also talked about the fact that veterans can file their DD-214s there. It's free service again, so they can go down there, file it free, and they'll get a copy for free. Other services are the one thing. Another thing I want to try and work on is the access to documents online. So I don't know if we did actually talk about what the recorder's office does. The main goal of the recorder's office is to keep and protect all of the various documents that go with home, land, property ownership, and the sales of that. So that includes deeds, but it also includes liens, mortgages, and all the various documents that go with that, mostly legal documents. So what you can do is you can access some of those online. But unfortunately there's a cost for that. And right now there's not much of a recorder's website. So I'd like to create a recorder's website dedicated to it that's user friendly, put more of the documents online so they're easy to access. But you can go down to the recorder's office for free and then look up all the documents that are on your home, if you're a homeowner. You can go down there, look all the documents up.
Is this where you find out like how much? So we get these slips in the mail about how much your property is worth and its estimated value and all that kind of stuff. If you wanted to question that estimated value and how much taxes you're paying, would they come to your office to raise that concern?
No, that goes through a tax review board. So no, that would be a different aspect of it. It doesn't really handle property tax. The only thing that would, your property tax bill would come in handy on is on there it has your parcel number. So that's just like the number in the recorder's office. Every piece of land is broken up. And obviously land can be divided. And so you could go back to the recorder's office and you can go back all the way to the beginning and see, okay, my land was divided here and goes back and back and was probably part of a farm at some point.
So you get the history on it, definitely.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who like that, to go in, and if they have especially one of these older homes in Champaign or Urbana, we'll go down there just to see, check the history about. Because you hear all these different things about your house. Some people even, going door to door, talked to a few people who said, yeah, they told us this house was built in 1911, but then I went to, we went to the recorder's office and we saw, you know, that it's, you know, goes back even further than that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
so it's a good step for any homeowner. Before you start talking about going to buy a house, you should go down to the recorder of deeds and say, look, let me make sure I know exactly what the history is on this particular property that I'm thinking about buying even.
Yeah, I mean, the history is probably more interesting. But yeah, if it's interesting to you. Yeah. I mean, the current documents are, you know, the ones that are legally binding. So you could just look at those in the context of wanting to know, mm-hmm. you know, okay, where is this property at? And,
okay.
you know, what are the boundaries of it? Are there any disputes on it? You know, you could see that.
Okay.
But there's some people who'd like to do the from the genealogical, but also you could do geographical histories. And it is an interesting aspect of the office, too.
Okay. So yes, there's a lot going on in there. Anything else about this office that takes place at the mm-hmm. recorder's office that the average person wouldn't know?
You can file your foreign marriage license there. So if you're married outside the country or outside the state, but you want a local copy of your marriage license, you can go down to the county recorder's office and record that.
You've been doing your homework, huh?
I have been. I think it would be a fun job to have.
That's interesting. That's interesting. So look, we've got about 20 minutes left, you all, and we still want to hear from you. If there's something else that's going on in the community, as the president of the Champaign County Young Democrats, you all have been involved in several different things. So, you know, it's not just this office. Matt's service stretches beyond that. His first time running for any particular elected office, but he has worked on other campaigns. He has done a lot of work in the community. If you have any questions for him, why should they support you, Matt? Why should the folks who are listening support you for Champaign County Recorder of Deeds?
Well, I think I have the qualifications for the job, and I also think that I have some good ideas and solutions for some of the problems that homeowners are facing, and I think I'll provide a good service to the community and make the office accessible. And I'm willing to do that for less money than what they're paying the current person.
So you keep saying you're willing to take less money. But so what you if they send you your check and it total up to $93,000 at the end of the year, what are you going to do with that extra? You said you would do it for like $33,000 or something.
Well,
I'm just saying that you're saying that you would do it for a lot less. You're saying that if they lowered the salary, mm-hmm. you would still do the job or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And that's the hard part, of I think, about putting a number on it. You know, I don't mm-hmm. want to do that. I've done it in private with mm-hmm. county board members, and you know, so we'll see what ultimately ends up happening with that.
And if they were to change that one, would they have to change all the other ones as well?
They wouldn't have to, no. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, that's certainly something to look at. You know, when they talk about, because right now the Republicans have proposed a tax increase countywide. At the county board level. So
the Republicans are proposing a tax increase?
Yeah. This is what's happening. So
it just seems so odd to me. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, it does seem odd. You really don't see the fiscal responsibility there that yeah. should be. But
I wonder,
you know,
if that's an attempt to build a new jail, but I guess that's a different conversation, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I think so. Like they look at it and they said it's $28 million.
Hmm.
But no matter what, I don't think that they should be raising the sales tax in the county.
Right.
So if there's anything that, you know, I could work with people on to avoid those, sure. You know, I'm absolutely willing to do that.
All right,
I believe that could be shared sacrifice, including politicians.
All right, then. Yeah. All right, then. So I'm just can't believe the phone's not ringing off the hook. What else you got for us? Talk to us.
Let me ask you a question.
All right.
What's your resolution this year?
My resolution. You know, I'm counting on doing a different approach to my diet. And so one of the things that was very effective for me was when I count calories per day, I saw how it was actually impacting, because if I would go to the gym and run for 20 or 30 minutes on a treadmill and burn 226 calories, then go eat a Snickers that's 250, that was just working too damn hard to get them calories back off, right? You know, so when I started to count the calories, it helped me understand what's happening. So as we get a little bit older, I'll be 45 in February. I know I don't look a day over 37, but you know, anyway, I hope my plan, my resolution in that regard is to watch those calories and the exercise and try to really focus on my health, to be sort of selfish in that regard. And really to spend as much time as I possibly can with my children, because we've been very busy doing a lot of different things. And so I want to make sure that I'm hanging out at the barn a lot more and hanging out with Amir and the grandson and trying to just stay in tune with them as much as possible. So I'm not trying to go too far out with these resolutions and stuff like that, because I mean, I think it should be a way of life for me. And so that's what I'm really looking at, is to, we talked about those sort of Kwanzaa, the principles of Kwanzaa and stuff, the Nguzu Saba. And I am, I'm really just trying to focus on those on a regular basis to make sure that they stay in the forefront of my thought, that the way that I got to where I am now, continues to be how I grow further. And so outside of being Recorder of Deeds, what's your resolution?
Yeah, actually, the resolutions, I've used them pretty successfully. I don't know why it's been something that, you know, you can, I think, start new and it's a...
Do something different.
Yeah, do something different, make a change. I've now, 8 years ago, I quit smoking.
Mm.
January 1st, 8 years ago.
Good.
I also lost probably about 70 pounds, but that was from... 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I definitely want to try to work out more, and fallen off on that. So, and I felt so much healthier when you do that.
Yeah.
And your mind's so much more, you know, it's something that when I'm out running or riding my bike or even on, you know, elliptical, it doesn't matter. You can use your mind and get creative. And I don't know. I want to get back to that. It's hard to slip off though.
it's easy to slip off. I mean, I'm in an all-out war
it's
with
easy
sugar.
To slip off, yeah.
And
it's hard to get back on.
Sugar has been whooping my butt for a long time, and I'm working hard to try to get rid of that. So all of my listeners and friends who are out there and family who are listening, when it comes to it, and I'm trying to eat those brownies and pineapple upside down cake and now laters and all that kind of stuff, just say, Aaron, don't do that. You said that you didn't want to do all that stuff. So you run around telling everybody else what they should do. So, you know, we telling you that you said you didn't want to do this. So help hold me accountable. I'm saying it publicly. I want you to hold me accountable. So
next time I see you with a piece of pie in your hand.
That's right. You're like, hey, man, I just, you know, 9:47 and 40 seconds of January 2nd, 2016. You said you didn't want to eat all that stuff. So, hey, you know, just remind me of that. So I mean,
if you
I think it's
working out. You could don't remind me. That's fine. I'll
just give you the look, like, man, Duco, what's up with that, right? So listen, you all, you know, Brother Duco here is running for this office as Champaign County Recorder. I certainly will be voting for you, and I'm encouraging other folks to give you a shot and to support you as well. And so hopefully we'll get a huge turnout this year, in November.
There's another resolution. Let's turn out more people to vote in Champaign County.
That's right, right.
Than ever before.
You all worked on the voting registration piece. This was something that was also extremely important. We did a lot of it with Carol's campaign, and you all were doing it also with the Callis campaign. So, you know, trying to increase the turnout, it's important for us to get out and not just the larger elections. You know, of course, it's fortunate in your regard that it'll be during the presidential election and stuff like that. You know, so mostly a lot of people do turn out. But, you know, we need to make sure that that we hit the polls, that the folks who especially those who will vote Democratic are going out and hitting the polls and voting for all the way to the bottom of the ballot. Right. Mm-hmm. All the way to the bottom of the ballot to vote for those people who are going to serve in your best interest.
Yeah, exactly. I think that'll be a lot of fun, actually. And that is the fun thing about the presidential years, is that's when you see so many different people who are engaged in listening, and you could really set the course of, you know, what politics and government's going to be for the next 4 years through that election, because there's so many people paying attention. And, you know, and it's already starting. So voting starts in 30 days in Iowa. from today.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, of course, yours truly, Brother A-Dub, is indeed a delegate, running as a delegate for Bernie Sanders. I'm feeling the burn. Everybody else might not be, but I am. So I'm certainly encouraging you all to get out and support all of the whole slate of the delegates for Bernie Sanders and to support him as president. That's just me. I can't tell you what to do. I'm just kind of talking out loud because I can do that. I'm an air shifter, and I'm saying that I think people should support him. You know, and other folks have their own opinions, but that's what I'm saying, that if I was in your shoes, I would vote for Bernie Sanders, y'all. That's what I would do. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely vote for Aaron Ammons and Naomi Jacobson and Matt Pasquini and all the delegates who are actually on the slate for Bernie Sanders. That's Bernie Sanders for president. Feel the burn.
There was one other one on there, too, wasn't there?
On for the delegates.
Oh, yeah. Aaron Ammons.
Yeah. Aaron Ammons is on there. Naomi Jacobson, Matt Pasquini. The other three, I don't know them very well, but I know the three local people who are running as delegates for Bernie. So these elections are definitely coming up. They're extremely important. Looks like somebody's calling for us. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning. I know I only have a few seconds left of this show that is partly mine. This is Sister Carol calling, Brother Adub.
Oh, what's happening there?
I want to say good morning to Matt Duco and thank him for putting the Recorder of Deeds office in perspective. I actually didn't know a lot of what he said about what the Recorder of Deeds office does. I just wanted to point out that as you are suggesting people on the ballot, I hope you would suggest that they would vote for Carol Ammons for state rep, who will also be on the ballot November 2016. Excited to be on the ballot, but also leading up with certainly Matt Duco and all the other candidates, the Souls to the Polls and voter registration drives we'll be doing. So we'll be kicking off that. People will hear about that. So I wanted to call and say that, as well as really thanking Matt for explaining the Recorder of Deeds office and just share with the people of Champaign-Urbana that every single office that is up is important and that we should be voting for them. Majority of the population is actually in Champaign and Urbana, and we can recapture a lot of these things. So I just wanted to say that to the listeners. Thank you so much, Brother Aaron.
Well, hold on just for a second. I think he wanted to say something to you.
Just wanted to say thanks, Representative. Always appreciate your kind words. And also just wanted to say Happy New Year to you. I know actually we were talking about this earlier, but I was talking about this with Aaron. I know you and your family went through a lot of changes last year, both good and bad. But I just wanted to wish you a Happy New Year for 2016 and look forward to working with you as we're both on the ballot on November 8th.
Well, thank you so much. And Happy New Year to you and all the listeners as well. God bless you.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Carroll. And I just wanted to say that, see, this delegates and stuff like that, this piece, this coming up in March 15th on the primary. See, that's going on, you know, right? So I know you guys are out working and stuff. Y'all got some stuff coming up in November of 2016. Sure. The primary is coming up in March. It's my show, Sister Carol, my show. So you come.
There's another logical question here. Do you aspire to a higher office? And Carol's off the line, so we can't ask her that.
Are you trying to put me on the spot, huh?
Oh, I can ask you too. You're a city councilor.
You know, I'm holding that one close to the chest. I don't know anything about any other higher offices for me just yet. So anyway, But
if there's got a few minutes left,
yeah, go ahead.
One other thing I love talking about is St. Baldrick's Foundation. Have you ever heard of it?
No. What is that?
Something I got involved in with 4 or 5 years ago now, and it's an organization where people shave their head. Hence, St. Baldrick's.
Okay.
Normally, and it started around St. Patrick's time. So people shave their head and raise money for childhood cancer research funding, which is actually one of, it's horrifically underfunded, childhood cancer research. It only gets about 7% of the national or federal cancer research dollars. And in the time frame when we've had, I think it was like 400 different drugs come out to treat adult cancers, you only had 10 new drugs to treat childhood cancer research, and it's horrifically underfunded. So this is a great organization that raises money for that. 80% of what they raise goes directly to funding grants. So it's mostly a volunteer-run organization, and actually I've been a volunteer event organizer. I put on an event. It's on May 1st, and it's right next door at Mike and Molly's. right next door here from the WEF studios at Mike and Molly's.
Okay.
We do it every May 1st, and people come out, shave their head. It's a real fun event. If you want to see some people go bald and do it for a good cause, or if you're interested, you can sign up at stbaldricks.org and just look for the champagne event.
And so for brothers like myself who are already bald, do they just take the shavings and the something? And
We had Josh Harkey shave his. So, I mean, there's a little something up there you could grow out, and we could take care of it on May 1st. You know, get yourself a free haircut and raise some money doing it.
All right, all right. So listen, I want to thank you for coming down, man. Certainly wish you the best. Anything that I can do to help you out, I'm going to do it. I'm sure you're going to be successful in your run. Just keep serving, keep working, keep sacrificing. And when you feed the people, they appreciate it. You know, and when you feed them, and they'll feed you back when you feed them. That's for sure. So listen, just a follow up community discussion, criminal justice reform in Illinois. Come on out to the IMC Independent Media Center, 202 South Broadway in Urbana. And that's going to be this Thursday, January 7th, 2016. The first one. There's a community discussion on criminal justice reform. So please join State Representative Sister Carol Ammons, State Representative L.G. Sims, who's the chairperson of the Judiciary Criminal Committee, and Jim Lewis, the U.S. Attorney for the Central District of Illinois, for a community discussion on the current status of the criminal justice system in Illinois. How can we use legislation and policy to shape reform, and what the most pressing issues are right now? That's January 7th at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center, because Urbana was first. Champaign was the second city for him. I just wanted to so y'all know that. Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center, 202 South Broadway. 5 p.m., there's a potluck, so bring a dish. 5:30 to 7, the discussion kicks off. This is extremely important for us as we talk about criminal justice reform in our state of Illinois. We all seen what's going on in Champaign. Yeah, that was not a Freudian slip. I really did mean that. What's going on in Champaign? And Officer Matt Rush must go. And I'm also Officer Matt Rush must go. Right. We're talking about accountability at every level. No one, the people who make the law are not above the law. The people who enforce the law are not above the law. The law is for the people and for the order that it's supposed to bring forth. So when you, come on out to this event, you can participate. You can bring your questions and your concerns. We see it happening all over the state in Chicago. They are not playing with old Rahm Emanuel up in Chicago, are they? But you know, you can't just replace faces. You have to change the culture. And so that changes when you put good people in, but it also changes when the people are pressing for the reforms that need to take place, or the absolute changes that need to take place. And I love to have a discussion. You know, at some point we're going to move into what will we do about the equity. Like, there's a lot of stuff being pushed right now through about marijuana legalization and all that kind of stuff in the drug war. Well, after you have decimated Black and brown communities and poor communities for the last 40 years and incarcerated people for decades for marijuana possession, now basically you have the rich and the wealthy who have access, who have $5 million in liquid equity, who can create growing centers and dispensaries and stuff like that to make money off the very thing that you have imprisoned people and you have destroyed communities and families. What will be the how will that money that's being generated for the state be given back to help develop those communities? Please turn your radio down. Please turn your radio down. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Oh, good. Hi there. I just wanted to let you know that I've listened to your program for the last several of years, and it's always enlightening. I especially enjoyed your guest today. I'm one of those people that have been a victim, and so I was glad to hear that information. I hope you continue, and I listen to Sister Carol. I understand I can't vote for her. I haven't been able to because of my residence, but I'm for her 100%, and I'm going to continue to try and support her.
Well, thank you very, very much for the call. We really appreciate that. That's a very inspiring way for us to roll out. Thank you for your support.
I got a birthday tomorrow, and I will be 83 years old. So I just want you to know you got audience listening from all ages.
Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate that. That really does feel good.
All right. Bye-bye. All right.
Bye-bye. Take
care. Good luck and Happy New Year.
Same to you. All right, then. That's a great way to roll out. So, all right, y'all. We got 20 seconds left. Matt, I want to thank you for coming down. And as John Lee Johnson would say when he was hosting this very same show many years ago, stay out of trouble. But as Paul Muth likes to say, get in the right kind of trouble. Peace and much love to you.